It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
In a recent reference to the coronavirus, the president stated this, quote, "I'm not concerned at all," end quote. And yet yesterday, the president officially declared a national state of emergency. Many are starting to sense at a very deep level that something is very wrong. In fact, much is very wrong. Yet even now, an epidemic of normalcy bias still persists. Even if there were no engineered COVID-19 virus expanding around the world, climate and biosphere collapse was already upon us, was already and is already unfolding by the day. How many have seen the image of a man standing motionless on the beach in Sri Lanka, staring out at the receding ocean just before the tidal wave swept him away? An image we should remember. It is very iconic and telling of so much of the human race at this exact moment in time. Definition of normalcy bias, again, still epidemic, even at this late hour. Normalcy bias or normality bias is a tendency for people to believe that things will always function the way they normally have functioned, and therefore to underestimate both the likelihood of a disaster and its possible effects and impacts. This may, and certainly all too often does, result in situations where people fail to adequately prepare themselves for what is unfolding. How unbelievably true that scenario is right now. How few have noticed the completely altered weather patterns, the intense burning of the sunlight as the ozone layer continues to collapse by the day, the dead and dying trees all over the globe, the lack of wildlife, the lack of insect populations. How many are noticing that the biosphere is absolutely imploding around us? And it's a very simple equation. No functional habitat or environment, no people. Very simple. And all of this is directly related to the virus and the motives behind it, the motives of those behind it. Many mistakenly choose to believe that, for example, if profit is being made from a crisis or an advantage is being gained by governments or power structures or other entities, then the crisis must be a hoax. But is it reasonable to come to conclusions without objective investigation and consideration of all available facts? Consider that countless entities make money from wars and conflict zones. Does that mean wars, conflicts, and carnage are not occurring? Does that mean people are not dying in these conflicts, wars, and conflict zones? Of course not. Many are making money off the unfolding and accelerating climate collapse, especially all those involved with the climate engineering insanity. But because many are profiting and gaining other advantages like controlling the population's food supplies, crop production, or lack of it in so many cases now, are we to believe that climate, biosphere, fisheries, and crop collapses are not occurring? It's not rational to think in such black and white dichotomous ways. The equation is complex. There are many layers. But because people are profiting or gaining advantages, governments, criminal governments, over what is unfolding, that doesn't mean the scenarios are not real. Enter COVID-19, which available science data makes clear is an engineered pathogen. More on that in a moment. Because the unfolding crisis is in many ways serving the agendas of those in power, does that mean we should pretend the COVID-19 virus is not unique and dangerous? Again, more coronavirus facts to come in this broadcast about the engineered nature of this virus. Also, I will include a reminder report of the fact that the current administration in 2017 rescinded the moratorium on experimentation with legal pathogens, and in doing so, made such experimentation legal. Question, how are those in power able to gain the blind, unquestioning servitude of so many in the general population? We must always remember and consider that those in power could not do what they do without the active or passive cooperation from legions of order followers. Search and examine the Milgram experiments to learn more about how those in authority, or at least whom the public perceives to be in authority, are able to manipulate the public. The public, so many in populations, blindly follow, blindly do what they're told, regardless of the lack of morality in such orders. First, this consideration, then headlines. Money lost in a market crash is and always has been false wealth. It is not true or real wealth. It is the fictitious, temporary, manufactured illusion of wealth. The only true wealth exists in natural resources, in nature, in a biosphere that allows us to live on this ball of rock spinning through the harsh environment of space. Climate, biosphere, and societal collapse was again already unfolding before the engineered coronavirus bioweapon was let loose. Further, the release of this bioweapon should be considered a glaring red flag of power structure desperation in response to the factors I have just mentioned. Unfolding climate, biosphere, and societal collapse. The, quote, novel coronavirus, end quote, serves the power structure completely. The engineered virus has so far been a slow and measured burn, but yet unstoppable. It is a weapon that facilitates the steady lockdown of societies, a weapon that the vast majority of the population will likely never recognize, let alone accept, at least not in time, that it was a weapon. Just as the weather warfare scenario is the crown jewel of the military-industrial complex, the weather, aka biological warfare occurring in our skies, which is also, again, likely directly related to the virus and the spread of the virus, the elements being seeded into our atmosphere from climate engineering, aka weather warfare operations, are highly toxic, highly inflammatory to our respiratory systems, weakens our body as a whole, certainly at minimum, at absolute minimum, making us much more susceptible to infection. And as I've stated over and over in numerous previous broadcasts, why would we not consider that the aerosol spraying operations are also being used to further spread the virus when we have recordings, which I've played over and over in this broadcast, of former government scientists like Ken Caldera stating that's one of the things he did for our government, to design ways of spraying pathogens into clouds to infect the populations below. Please remember that recording. Look it up. Listen to it from geoengineeringwatch.org. Consider former government scientists. And you can contact Mr. Caldera by yourself, by the way, and ask him about what he said. And however he tries to deny what he said or the meaning of what he said, we have it on tape and on the record. But back to the impacts of this virus. A few headlines. Quick succession. You can look at these headlines. I'm not going to quote every source because there are multiple sources for most of these headlines. First, business travel sector to lose $820 billion in revenue on coronavirus as it hits the industry hard. Again, this is all false wealth, numbers on a page, means nothing in the bigger picture. The only true wealth is an environment that supports life. Everything else is simply a part of the Ponzi scheme that we call industrialized, militarized society. Another headline, the five biggest tech companies lost more than $400 billion in value on Thursday alone. Another headline, 75% of companies suffer from coronavirus supply chain disruptions, only the beginning. This is part of a much, much bigger agenda. Another headline, junk status, oil nations face serious credit downgrades. More on that later in this broadcast as well, on the fracking Ponzi scheme that is now truly coming apart at the seams. Another headline, Google recommends all North American employees to work from home. Why aren't all schools letting out as well at this point? Schools are nothing more than a petri dish. It's a landlocked cruise ship, if you will, where all the air is shared, everyone shares desks. Obviously a breeding ground for this pathogen. Why wouldn't schools take that into account at this point if we're truly trying to stop this, which it doesn't seem that our country is. Spreading this is clearly part of a bigger agenda, a slow, measured spread. Not to panic the population too fast, but to increase the lockdown as every day goes by. Another headline, Trump administration blocks states from using Medicaid to respond to coronavirus. That leaves a few questions, doesn't it? Another headline, caught by surprise. lack of coronavirus testing gives U.S. highest reported mortality rate. Mortality rate, something to consider that so few are at this point when they continue to quote that the flu has killed more people. That is not a reflection of the mortality rate. And we still hear mainstream media like Fox News and CNN and MSNBC quoting a mortality rate that's 10 times higher than the flu. I'm not sure where they learned how to do math, but that does not fit the global statistics, which reflect a mortality rate that's about 40 times higher than the flu. Mortality rate, key figure to remember. Also, the fact that this pathogen can remain latent for up to 25 days and the host is still shedding virus during this time. This is completely unique. And the length of time it's able to stay on surfaces. Many unique factors about this virus, more on that later in this broadcast, that make it clear this is absolutely from a lab, not from nature. Another headline, a $100 billion debt wave to crash over Europe's riskiest firms. Again, artificial wealth measured in terms that are meaningless and against the bigger backdrop of a planet that's rapidly losing its ability to support life. Another headline, Bank of America's shocking warning, quote, the treasury market is no longer functioning normally. Another headline, coronavirus could hit housing hard as Australia teeters on the edge of recession. Could, may, might. We're back to the equation. If you leap off a 100-story building, you could be harmed when you hit the sidewalk below. More headlines from Bloomberg.com. Shipping gets smashed by coronavirus in more ways than one. Incredibly complex global supply chains, never sustainable. Knock one or two or three links out of those chains and the entire chain falls apart. That's what we're starting to see. It's going to get worse fast. And again, even without this virus, it was already happening. More headlines. Princess Cruises suspending operation for 2 months over coronavirus. Is it going to magically get better in 2 months? Is China telling the truth about them, quote, getting a handle on the virus? Or is that nothing but propaganda? We'll soon enough know, won't we? Another headline. Carnival halts global cruise operations for 60 days. Just two examples of the cruise industry woes. Again, cruise ships, giant floating petri dish. We've already seen the examples of that. Schools the same. Why aren't more schools shutting down now? Question that should be answered. Another headline. Global bank stocks crash to record low levels. Along with all the financial collapse headlines, remember, climate and biosphere collapse is and always will be the bottom line. Question, can we dare to hope, given all which is unfolding, that a larger percentage of the population will summon the courage to clear the lens through which they see the world? Can we dare to hope that a larger percentage of the population will summon the courage to carry out honest investigation of the most critical issues we collectively face? We will soon enough find out. Many more of the most critically important breaking headline reports in a moment. First, to each and every individual that is doing their best to stay informed, to wake others, and to help turn the tide, thank you more than I can say. It is our collective efforts that can yet make a difference. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 240, March 14th, 2020. In this broadcast, news that covers the issues we must face if we're to have any chance of changing course, any chance of salvaging any part of Earth's remaining life support systems. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 AM, Sunday morning, same time slot on air, repeat broadcast. Recordings of this broadcast can also be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. The latest Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. And again, if you're trying to introduce this issue to friends, family, circles, having credible, compelling printed materials is exponentially more effective than pointing at the sky and going into a diatribe. I know it's tempting to do that. Any rational person would be, should be, and furious about what's happening in our skies, toxifying every breath we take, disrupting Earth's natural life support systems, destroying the ozone layer. Logical and rational to be very upset. But we're playing chess. We must learn how to play well. Be strategic in your approach to waking others up around you. The GEMFAIR events, G-E-M-F-A-I-R IRE. Very, very powerful ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering operations. They have been incredibly generous in facilitating a geoengineeringwatch.org booth at all their events. But as of yesterday, I've been told that their upcoming events at the moment have been canceled because of the coronavirus scenario. We have states and local governments canceling their events. Search their home site for more updated information. If you're near one of these events, please attend, show your support for Jim Fair, and you can get free Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials at these events. Now, this very important announcement on the anti-geoengineering documentary produced by geoengineeringwatch.org titled The Dimming, which will include interviews already conducted with two former U.S. Air Force generals, former presidential cabinet members, university scientists, former government scientists, former state scientists, and more. And also footage of our high-altitude testing that has confirmed the climate engineering contamination being emitted from jet aircraft in our skies. A very important update will be posted early next week. Please look for that update. If you're on our email list and you don't receive it, please look for it. It will be there, barring some unforeseen challenge on our end. We've had many of those, but we don't anticipate that now. We are ready to make this announcement and this post next week. On to what is unfolding in our world and who is doing their best to hide it. From Reuters.com and numerous other sources, this headline, exclusive: White House told Federal Health Agency to classify coronavirus deliberations. Why would they do that? In that report, the White House has ordered federal health officials to treat top-level coronavirus meetings as classified, an unusual step that has restricted information and hampered the U.S. government's response to the contagion, according to four of the president's administration officials. The officials said that dozens of classified discussions about such topics as the scope of the infections, quarantines, and travel restrictions, etc., have been held since mid-January in a high-security meeting room at the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, a key player in the fight against coronavirus, or perhaps a key player in the effort to make sure the coronavirus keeps expanding, perhaps. Many agendas being carried out. The report continues, the administration officials who spoke at Reuters on condition of anonymity said they could not describe the interactions in the meeting rooms because they were, quote, classified. But again, no need to worry, so says our president. And by the way, I have to always state this so people don't think, oh, you must be for the other side. They're both two sides of the same coin. I don't care what political stripe people wear. I'm asking people to get past the political circus of idiocy. The elections, all the whole cast of characters involved, all of it. A three-ring circus of orchestrated distraction, nothing more, while the noose continues to be pulled around our collective necks. Please get past it. Look to the wider horizon and understand the political everything, I don't care what side of the fence you're on, is nothing but orchestrated mass distraction. And every single individual participating in that mass distraction on both sides of the manufactured political fence is a part of that distraction. Back to the issues at hand. Some schools are shutting down, which would seem to be the prudent action given all that we know about this virus. Again, that could be circulating for over 3 weeks with individuals that don't show symptoms. From sfgate.com and other sources, Northern California's largest school district shut down due to coronavirus concern. Again, this question, when will other school districts do the same? Once there's a cluster, an outbreak cluster, by then it's too late. By then the virus has circulated widely. Why not be ahead of that wave? In regard to the engineered nature of the COVID-19 virus, again, this reminder covered in one of my broadcasts, I believe 2 weeks ago, from a science study that was immediately rescinded and swept under the rug, I'm sure from pressures far up on the ladder. This study stated this, again, peer-reviewed science study: we are currently witnessing a major epidemic caused by the 2019 novel coronavirus. The evolution of 2019 COV remains elusive. We, these scientists, found four insertions in the spike glycoprotein, which are unique to the 2019 COV and are not present in other coronaviruses. Importantly, amino acid residues in all of the four inserts have identities or similarities to those in the HIV virus. HIV. Report continues. Interestingly, despite the inserts being discontinuous on the primary amino acid sequence, 3D modeling of the 2019 COV suggests that these inserts, converge to constitute the receptor binding site. The finding of four unique inserts in the 2019 COV COVID-19 virus, all of which have, again, identity residues that are structural proteins of HIV, is, quote, the report states, unlikely to be fortuitous in nature. What does that mean? Nature did not produce this virus. The COVID-19 virus is the result of engineering and gene splicing carried out in a laboratory. Should that be any surprise? U.S. alone has about 400 biolabs all over the world. What do we think they're doing? Other countries have the same. Let me carry on with this theme. Let's consider this publication from the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine. This is a 2003 science report. It states this, quote, influenza as a bioweapon. From the report, influenza is usually transmitted by direct contact, but can also be transmitted by aerosol. It states in this report on passenger planes, other forms of transportation. The report goes on to state this. Indeed, international transmission is increasingly frequent. Notably, aerosol transmission of influenza requires up to 27,000 times fewer virions. A virion is just a term that describes a complete virus particle. So the influenza transmissions require 27,000 times fewer complete particles to induce equivalent disease. Report then states, quote, taken together with the fact that influenza virus is readily accessible and may be causing more deaths than previously suspected, the possibility for genetic engineering and aerosol transmission suggest an enormous potential for bioterrorism. From a science report in 2003. Add the massive increase in biolabs since that time, post 9/11, and the recent science study that makes clear that there are inserts in the COVID-19 virus that are not a result of nature. Connect the dots. Let's backtrack even further. Question, how do we know that the yearly flu outbreaks are just, quote, an act of nature? Answer, we don't know. We don't know. We can't know what's being seeded into our skies or the totality of what's being seeded. We know many of the elements that are being seeded that are highly toxic, aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, lead, polymer fibers, all of which are being dumped into our skies in massive quantities. We have peer-reviewed study to prove now, for example, in the case of polymer fibers, that human hearts are showing up with not millions of these polymer nanoparticulates wedged into hearts, but billions. Billions of polymer nanoparticles found in human hearts. Nanoparticles are unimaginably small, unimaginably bioavailable. They infiltrate the entire web of life. They are bioaccumulative, means they're easily absorbed and almost impossible to expel. And again, this is true with the polymer fibers, with the aluminum nanoparticulates, barium, all of these particles highly toxic in and of themselves. When you combine these particles, something called synergistic toxicity is introduced, which means the combination of these particles can increase the overall toxicity by as much as 100 times. Truly lethal mix being dumped in the skies all over the world, absorbed by all of us, weakening us, making us more susceptible to exactly the kind of pathogen that's circulating around right now. And how do we know that these particles aren't being used as platforms to further distribute these pathogens? Moving on, because there's more to this story. Let's backtrack even further. Was the 1918 so-called Spanish flu just an act of nature, as the public has been told and led to believe, and unfortunately the vast majority has blindly accepted? If the historically available facts are examined, it becomes clear that the entire official narrative surrounding the so-called 2018 Spanish flu is nothing less than a long list of lies. Here's a few points to consider. The pandemic was not Spanish in any sense. The first cases of bacterial pneumonia, labeled as Spanish flu, in 1918 traced back to a military base in Fort Riley, Kansas. Another point to consider, from January 21st through June 4th, 1918, an experimental bacterial meningitis vaccine cultured in horses by the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research in New York was injected into soldiers at Fort Riley. Another point to consider on this subject, during the remainder of 1918, as those soldiers, often living and traveling under poor sanitary conditions, were sent to Europe to fight, they spread this cultured bacteria, again falsely labeled Spanish flu, that was spawned by the Rockefeller meningitis vaccine. These soldiers circulated this at every stop between Kansas and the frontline trenches in France. And these are only a few of the facts relating to the so-called Spanish flu that the public is completely unaware of, not by accident, intentionally misinformed, of course. So this begs the question, exactly how long has this type of biological warfare been an available tool for those in power? Over a century. Many activists are forwarding me reports, or rather rants in this case, with conclusions about COVID-19 that claim it is just, quote, a hoax. One such report, or rant, was put out by John Rappaport. Here's my response to an activist that forwarded the Rappaport rant to me. I replied with this, quote, I understand your point. And by the way, her point was this, that even though John Rappaport adamantly denies that there's anything wrong with the climate and refuses to address climate engineering, that I should still consider whatever else he has to say. So again, my quote back to this activist, I understand your point, but the fact that someone like Rappaport can be so far off base on something as monumental as the state of the climate should give pause. The fact that such strong conclusions can be put forward, as Rappaport has in this case of the virus, without a shred of evidence to back up those conclusions in this case and others, should also give pause. The fact that Mr. Rappaport makes no mention of the profound difference between the engineered COVID-19 virus and the flu, like, for example, the mortality rate for COVID-19, which is 40 times higher than the flu, like the fact that the up to 25-day latency period in which an individual can and is still able to shed viruses is completely unique, the lack of mention of these facts is very troubling. Are we to think that those in power are too morally grounded to engineer a virus that would actually kill people? Question mark. How many claimed events like the Vegas massacre were, quote, a hoax? So many of these same sources and sites have made such claims, not necessarily the individual I'm speaking about or the source right now, but so many sites did. Yet I know and am close personal friends with, in fact, I spoke to him yesterday, a former Green Beret, whose close friend, another Green Beret, was killed in the Vegas shooting. Not a hoax. The sites that make these claims about from the COVID-19 virus to climate engineering to the mass shootings and claim that they didn't happen or that they were just some sort of act greatly undermine the credibility of alternative sources of media. We all have a responsibility to investigate the facts before coming to conclusions. And this is not being done. Not in the case of this virus, not in the case of climate engineering, not in the case of the unfolding climate collapse on which all of our lives very immediately depend. Very immediately. I can't stress that point with enough gravity. Here's the final statement from my response to the activist who sent me the report that without any facts or information whatsoever made the case that the COVID-19 virus is simply a hoax. I said this, I have numerous contacts in common with Mr. Rappaport. These contacts have repeatedly sent him volumes of data on climate engineering. Not a shred of acknowledgement from him. None. Climate and biosphere collapse is here. As I've stated for over a decade, power structure desperation goes exponential due to the unfolding environmental collapse. Those in power know full well that the current paradigm of mass consumption and exploding populations can no longer be maintained. Given their mentality, why wouldn't they, i.e. those in power, those who print the money, why wouldn't they release a virus exactly like the COVID-19 virus. Again, a virus that all available data indicates is absolutely engineered. Facts matter. Conclusions based on facts are essential if credibility is to be maintained. Another question, will the COVID-19 scenario be used to force yet another new, untested, and highly dangerous vaccine on populations? Consider these former tweets from the president. Consider the 180-degree shift he makes during the course of these tweets over a course of time. First, the president tweeted this, quote, healthy young child goes to doctor, gets pumped with massive shot of many vaccines, doesn't feel good, and changes. Autism, many such cases, exclamation point, end quote. Seemingly stating clearly vaccinations are dangerous and doing harm, again from our president. Then the president changes direction. Input from Bill Gates was apparently a factor. How did Bill Gates manage to sway Mr. Trump toward a pro-vaccine stance? Gates recalls advising the president to associate himself with, quote, American innovation, stating this to the president, quote, Gates said, wouldn't you love to have the universal flu vaccine be something that really got kicked off and energized by you, the president? What has the president tweeted since his former anti-vaccine tweet? This, quote, they have to get the shots. The vaccinations are so important. This is really going around now. They have to get their shots, end quote. What an about face that was. Fast forward to the current engineered pathogen, Corona COVID-19 virus, that will very likely be used as a premise for future forced vaccination programs. First, consider this headline from multiple sources, December 19th, 2017. Here's the headline. A federal ban on making lethal viruses is lifted. Shouldn't we ask this question? Why would our president and his staff lift a ban on experimentation with lethal viruses? Why would they do that? From this report, federal officials ended a moratorium on funding research that alters germs to make them more lethal. Straight from the 2017 report, December 19th, 2017, multiple sources. Report continues, such work can now proceed. It further states that critics say these researchers risk creating a monster germ that could escape the lab and seed a pandemic, end quote. From this report, yes, many red flags in this equation. Again, as I mentioned in my last week's broadcast, which nations have so far been hit the hardest with the COVID-19 virus? China, Iran, and Italy, all countries that the U.S. government has targeted in multiple ways. Italy, because of its increasing ties with China, which infuriated the U.S. government. Something to consider. And this to consider, governments are nothing less than state-sponsored mafia, state-sponsored crime syndicates. Why would we expect otherwise? So much programming in our populations to make them believe the government is some sort of father figure, Stockholm syndrome. The population actually defending the very criminal elements that are now assaulting them in unimaginable ways and from unimaginable directions, so many directions. A question to consider, how can so many in our societies be so off track, be so willfully blind to the horizon that taken as a whole, these large segments of society not only accept the mass production and distribution of weapons of mass destruction all over the world, but so many segments in our society actually embrace such insanity as, quote, good for business. How many in industrialized militarized societies completely ignore the fact that governments have hundreds of biolabs, again, all over the world, that are and have long since been experimenting with legal pathogens? These dots are not hard to connect. More considerations. The COVID-19 bioweapon does not do well in warm temperatures or sunlight. Now consider that the climate engineers have scheduled a massive engineered cool down for the western half of the United States. The NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, scheduled weather departure from normal high temperature map for the next 10 days has to be seen to be believed. It is yet another example of engineered winter weather whiplash, scenarios that geoengineeringwatch.org has been trying desperately to sound the alarm on for over a decade. Search this geoengineeringwatch.org report title. Quote, geoengineering is creating freeze-fry extremes. Examine this report and the short video contained in it. Next, search and examine the engineering winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Then the engineering drought section and the engineering wildfire section. Because firestorms will likely soon return to the Western North American continent. Climate engineering is the single greatest causal factor that is setting the slate for the unprecedented burndowns. The various sources of ignition for the increasing unprecedented global firestorms is another subject completely. But the factor that is most setting the slate for these burndowns is absolutely climate engineering. Again, search the engineering wildfire sections at geoengineeringwatch.org. And blaming this particular factor on climate engineering is not in any way to deny anthropogenic climate collapse, i.e. the massive damage to the planet and the climate systems from countless forms of human activity, which, of course, includes climate engineering. But in the case, again, of the epic and unprecedented firestorms, climate engineering is the core causal factor. Moving on, about the massive cool down that is being engineered for the western half of the U.S. lower 48 and the rain that the climate engineers, it appears, are going to allow into parts of Northern California. As I've stated in countless previous broadcasts and disseminations, instead of a so-called forecast calling for a number of days with just, quote, rain, as was the case in years past, now so-called forecasters, which we know are reading scripts, we know this, I've repeated this many times, from our Freedom of Information Act requests that we got from NOAA that we had to sue the U.S. Department of Commerce to get, it makes clear that local forecasters, all the way down to our local ABC station here, and their so-called forecasters, they're reading scripts. I don't care how much they deny it. We have proof that that's what they're doing, because those who actually engineer the weather need consistency in message. So they have bought, purchased, and now control all major weather disseminating sources. They need a consistency in message. So now these local forecasters, again, which are in reality reading just the scheduled weather scripts, make statements like this. This is directly from the AccuWeather forecast for next week. Quote, this is for Saturday. Today, cooler, a little PM rain. Instead of rain, 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 we just have these drifting masses of murk floating over us. A little rain falls out here and there. Sometimes an occasional harder shower. This is not an exact scenario. But they state a little PM rain on Saturday. Sunday, cool with occasional rain. Monday, spotty showers in the morning. Tuesday, a couple of showers. Wednesday, a couple morning showers. You get the idea. Again, just drifting masses of often featureless gray murk over our heads that, as I stated, occasionally puts out uniform drizzle, an occasional harder shower, but nothing like the Northern California storms of the past. This is the result of climate intervention operations. And for all those that roll their eyes and tell themselves that weather and climate modification is impossible, please find the courage to actually investigate the facts. All available climate modification science data makes clear that when aircraft overseed storm moisture, there are too many condensation nuclei in the clouds, too many tiny particles. This prevents cloud droplets from combining into large enough droplets to fall. Thus, the moisture is migrated further east. The climate engineering atmospheric spraying also greatly impacts cloud convection. This also reduces precipitation. So again, what we often end up with is long periods of featureless skies with not much rain falling out, reduced wind as compared to eras now past. This doesn't mean there's no wind, doesn't mean there's not occasionally hard wind. I'm speaking in generalities. And when chemical ice nucleating agents are being seeded, a substantial short-term surface cool down does occur. But it is a shallow layer of cold air at the surface. And again, it's created by the patented processes of chemical ice nucleation, these materials sprayed into storm cloud moisture. And much of this moisture is dried up in the process. These are endothermic, i.e. energy-absorbing particles. They are desiccants, so it dries up much of the moisture that otherwise would have fallen. The bottom line is this. Climate engineering is weather warfare, nothing less. In Northern California, where the temperatures have been far above normal for most of the last 2 months, trees have bloomed and leafed 6 weeks early. Now another weather whiplash cooldown is being inflicted on us. What will this do to food crops? And anyone that has lived, again, in Northern California for any length of time has to have noticed the profound change in weather patterns. The temperatures are now so often very far above normal during the day and often don't cool down that much at night. Precipitation patterns are completely different, and the extremely intense UV radiation is impossible to rationally deny. It can be felt on the skin, on the heat of surfaces. If you put your hand on those surfaces, especially dark-colored cars, even in the middle of winter, they will burn your hand because the UV is so intense. The damage being done by the bombardment of lethal, not just UVA and UVB, but UVC radiation on the surface can be seen in the many deteriorating tree crowns, with so many with dead and dying branches, the bark on the sun-exposed side of so many trees fried from tip to trunk, and there are other even more grave implications from the collapsing ozone layer and the UV bombardment, like the slaughtering of global plankton. No plankton, no people. No trees, no people. Total ozone layer collapse, no people. Also killing insects. That's a major factor with the insect die-off, not just the exposure to the toxic particles raining down through the atmosphere. We have peer-reviewed study, by the way, to prove bees are dying of massive aluminum exposure. I just, again, alerted one of the major beehive people in Northern California that there's peer-reviewed study that aluminum is killing bees. They don't seem to care. Isn't that perplexing? That those who are most affected by certain aspects of climate engineering don't seem to care. The normalcy bias. Let's just pretend everything's normal. It's not socially acceptable for so many in our society to talk about grave dangers. And that's why we're in this mess. It needs to be socially acceptable to face grave dangers and to collaborate on what we do about this, how we got here, and how we can change course. The social stigma toward those who are willing to face the truth needs to be dropped and abandoned by all those who are not willing yet to face the truth. I'll state again for the record, as I've done over the last decade, countless times since the creation of GeoengineeringWatch.org, climate and biosphere collapse will force power structure desperation on countless fronts, not just weather warfare, not just engineered pathogens, but the desperate and destructive pursuit of resources that the Western military empire needs to sustain itself. And before covering the next headline, I fully realize I need to state this so I'm not accused of being a fan of other countries or other militaries, which I am not. I fully realize that all countries and their militaries are also criminally corrupt. But the military-industrial complex in the U.S. is bigger than the next 10 biggest militaries combined. The danger this juggernaut of uncontrolled insanity poses to us is in direct proportion to its size and strength. How many tried to warn us about this? Eisenhower, Kennedy. And yet, where do we find ourselves today? In regard to the U.S. empire and its actions abroad, its efforts to sustain itself by whatever means it deems necessary, from multiple sources, this headline from last week. The U.S. now openly admits its goal in Syria is to make it, quote, difficult for Moscow and Damascus to defeat the terrorists. Listen carefully to that. The U.S. admitting that it is trying to make it difficult for the terrorists in Syria to be defeated. From that report, the State Department's special envoy for Syria has just admitted that the U.S. aims to, quote, defend the jihadist militants against, quote, Russian aggression. They're defending the terrorists against Russia's attempt to defeat the terrorists. Report continues, Russia and the Syrian government are, quote, out to get a military victory in all of Syria, end quote. Ambassador James Jeffrey, Trump administration ambassador, told reporters on a conference call out of Brussels on Tuesday. The U.S. ambassador stated this, quote, our goal is to make it very difficult for them to do that, i.e. defeat the terrorists, by a variety of diplomatic, military, and other actions. Defending the terrorists, creating the terrorists. Where do we think Al-Qaeda came from? They're are numerous instances of record of the U.S. government covertly arming these terrorists. And this goes back decades in many countries, many different names of terrorism. The School of the Americas. How many know what the School of the Americas was, and is? Training terrorists to wreak havoc in Central America to protect, quote, U.S. interests, i.e. U.S. corporations. A list of murder and mayhem that's so long it's difficult to even comprehend. The School of the Americas. Don't believe me. Please don't believe me. Please look it up. Watch some of the documentaries on this school of the U.S. military to train terrorists, literally. And Americans pretend none of this is so, because again, it's not socially acceptable to face this kind of truth. You're not patriotic if you're willing to root out this kind of information and try to make it known. And let's all remember Scripture. And how many pretend that they care about spiritual traditions and Scripture? How many pretend to care? How many warm a pew every Sunday with their backside and yet refuse to look at this data? How many pastors I've been to in Northern California alone to try to pass on credible, verifiable, scientific data proving climate engineering is going on, the most egregious assault against creation ever launched by the human race. And what have every single one of these pastors said to me initially? I don't want to see your information. It's all in big hands. I don't need to worry about that. And I have challenged every single one of them to show me in Scripture where it states it's okay for them to turn two blind eyes to this kind of truth once they have been shown it, once they've been provided data to verify it. And I've shamed all of them, as I've stated in previous broadcasts, into taking data, but what have they done with it? Exactly nothing. And are congregations holding their pastors accountable? No, they're not. I have yet to see it. I know some are, a very select few, and I'm grateful for them. But so few are, and so many self-proclaimed moral congregations are turning two blind eyes and waving their flags blindly while our government is wreaking havoc around the globe and poisoning its own populations, not just with the COVID-19 virus, which has very dubious origins. We can't know for certain exactly where that virus came from, but what we can say for certain is it is absolutely not a result of nature. And why isn't that being talked about by our media? Because it provides a very convenient excuse to blame everything that's happening on this virus. It's just nature. Otherwise, we would have a great, thriving America. America would be great again if not for this virus. That's a lie. The kind of loot, plunder, pillage, and pollute policy this country has practiced for so many years has effectively shot us all in the head. No environment, no people. And I'm not pretending China's any better or Russia. They're all horrific, absolutely horrific. But we're in no position to point the finger at anybody when the largest single source polluter in the world, and please look up again everything I'm stating, everything. The largest single source polluter in the world is the U.S. military. Not saying our military pollutes more than the entire country of China. I didn't say that. Please listen to what I say exactly. Single source polluter. How immense of a global pollution source is our country as a whole? And I know we still point the finger completely at China, and I'm not saying China is not horrific. They are horrific, but who are they making all their goods for, or so many of their goods? They're being shipped to us. Are we not to some degree responsible for that as well? I'm simply stating as a whole, we all need to take a good long look in the mirror. And I know there are many people who deserve ample credit who are doing their best to not be a part of this destruction or insanity. But the bottom line is, the current way of life was never sustainable. And this virus is a very convenient out for those in power. One, to cinch the noose around our collective necks. Two, to blame everything that's unfolding now on nature. Three, it distracts from the fact that the climate and biosphere were imploding already, that we were in free fall toward total collapse already. Climate engineering further fueling that fire, and climate engineering as a core part to all of this, including the potential spreading of this pathogen. I'm asking for people to look at all the factors in the equation, not just one or two. The equation is complex, and we have to get past, again, our programming, preconception, and bias to see the equation clearly. So again, the example I gave a few moments ago about the U.S. government supporting terrorists in order to carry out its agenda is not new. This is only one recent example headline from last week. Again, it's just a headline to make a point that the U.S. empire has long since fully supported the creation of, arming of, terrorist groups and entities which serve the empire's agendas and objectives. Our government, the U.S. government, fully supporting experimentation with lethal pathogens, fully supporting, arming, and funding known terrorist groups. How many remember how hard our government fought against any legitimate investigation of 9/11, for example? Are we just going to look the other way on that horrific false flag event? And on that note, the 9/11 Architects and Engineers Group needs our help now, as they are trying to bring to light a peer-reviewed science study that conclusively proves World Trade Center Building 7 was brought down by controlled demolitions. Any American that has any true patriotism flowing through their veins has a responsibility to support the 9/11 Architects and Engineers Group in their desperate attempt to expose the truth. Go to their website, find out how you can help them expose what really happened on 9/11, the new Pearl Harbor event that galvanized the U.S. population into completely blind and unquestioning support of the military-industrial complex. Pat Tillman figured it all out. What happened to him? Assassinated by our own military. Any true patriot will take the time to investigate the Pat Tillman story. How is it possible that the human race has gone so far off track? What are the driving forces? Greed, gluttony, tyranny, fear, a desire to preserve personal paradigms at any cost to the planet as a whole, at the cost of any future for our posterity. And if we remain on the current course, we will likely take the entire web of life down with us. There is much in human nature that leaves much to be desired. In the geologic blink of an eye, our species, taken as a whole, I understand there are many exceptions, and I'm grateful for those exceptions, but taken as a whole, our species has decimated the planet in countless ways. Climate engineering, the attempt to play God with Earth's life support systems, along with other related agendas, is the epitome of human insanity. The climate system is collapsing. The biosphere is collapsing. Insect populations are collapsing. It's very painful to see all this occurring. Last week, the bats are behaving strangely because there's no insects for them to eat. Almost none. And one came in for a crash landing in front of my lights on my driveway. Haven't seen that before. And it breaks my heart to see these small creatures foraging for what isn't there. They're simply trying to play their part in the play. And so few even notice or care that this pillar of life on Earth, the insects, are collapsing. I stopped my vehicle. I found a piece of bark, and I gently, ever so gently, pushed this delicate bat onto the bark. And I carried him some distance to a rock escarpment where there are cracks and crevices where I know the bats nest. And I gently helped him into a crack. And I hope he'll be okay. But every single creature, like this bat, like the birds, like the bears, like the bees, they have no voice. They have no voice except for us. And our lives completely depend on their lives. We are all part of the web of life. We will sink or swim together. And we must care about that now. We must face reality now, or we will not have tomorrow. The COVID virus is just the latest symptom of a completely diseased, sick, criminal, and murderous power structure. The reality we have all formerly known is unraveling by the day. The formerly thriving planet that sustained us is not coming back in any time frame that matters. But the battle to salvage some part of Earth's remaining life support systems is not yet lost. What will each of us choose to do with the time we have left? How can we ever know what difference we might yet make unless we apply ourselves fully to the battle for the greater good? If we stand together in defiance of the darkness that currently controls so much of the world, we can yet make a difference for the better. And if, through our collective efforts, anyone or any part of the web of life makes it through the coming storm, our efforts will not have been in vain. Make your voice heard. Make every day count. share credible data from a credible source. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.